on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being with us today. It is a beautiful day, a wonderful Father's Day. I tried to catch up with my dad. I think he's in church, you know, because he and my mom teach the Sunday school lesson every now and again. Rusty, how come you don't do that?
I would have to give that some thought.
So a blessing.
Caught me off guard with that one.
A blessing and a thanks to all the fathers out there, whether you're a father, thinking about your father, call your father, say a prayer for your father, whatever works best for you.
My daughter sent texts this morning. So.
Text, does that work? Does that count?
Yeah, it's close enough.
All right.
It's the thought that counts. It is
the thought that counts. So happy Father's Day to everyone. I hope you get to spend a little bit of time outside. Rusty, your Father's Day gift is a round of golf with your son. Is that what I heard?
That is correct. Up on the beautiful Swannanoa Golf Course.
So thank you all for taking time to listen to us today. This is WNRN. And thanks to those, happy Father's Day to all listening on 91.9 and Harrisonburg's 95.1. We are going to be doing our sort of our version of auto chat. You know, maybe you're familiar with that phrase and another two other words chosen by other radio stations. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to have two long-term professional auto technicians here in the studio. As soon as one of them comes in after running out of gas, what's that all about? Rusty, do technicians know exactly how many, or pretty close to how many miles you can get out of a tank of gas, and so you don't worry about it so much? Oh, I know that I can get 200.2 miles out of this tank of gas.
He's a dad as well. He has a couple boys, and he's probably busy with them doing something this morning. We stay incredibly busy, either working at our jobs or working on family members' vehicles, and that's the problem. I mean, you should see what I drive. I fix everybody's car except my own until it actually breaks. There's just not enough time. You know, it's one of them things you got to make time for to try to take care of your own vehicle and just patch it and go, patch it and go. That's the story of our lives. So it's kind of crazy, but yeah, he called me and I could not believe it. He's sitting on 250 out of gas. So I'm not sure which. He has several vehicles as well. I'm not sure what he's driving. If it's the big old Chevrolet, he's looking about maybe 10 miles to the gallon. But
So Bullock will be with us soon. Between Rusty Sempre and Steve Bullock, over 50 years worth of knowledge as professional auto technicians. Maybe a little more. I was trying to ask Rusty that question, and Steve wasn't here to confirm his number of years in the business. But we will be talking with Rusty Sempre and Steve Bullock about auto. You can write the phone number down, 979-0919. That's 979-0919 here at WNRN as we take your calls with questions, whether they're questions about specific automobiles, maybe about a problem that you have with your car, or just a question. And Rusty, I want to start with that, because I've always worked in a place where I could park in a shadow, or a place that was going to get some shadows at some point during the day. And my current job, the parking lot is too wide open. It doesn't allow for that. So the choice is to either crack the windows or leave the windows up. I'm not always available to run out there if the rain is coming. And somebody was telling me that you can't leave the windows up all day. Your car gets too hot inside, and the heat will damage something on the inside of the car. Is that true?
It's highly possible if the day is hot enough, because, of course, when the sun beams through all the windshield and the glass, that increases the temperature inside the vehicle. That's what leads to a lot of your dashboards cracking in the top. If you got a little chip on your windshield, of course, you've heard of that before. Either on a really hot day, the chip will spread into a large, massive crack, or you'll have a cool morning where there'll be a little frost on your windshield, you know, vice versa, and you cut the defrost on, and as that temperature of the glass is changing, that's when your cracks and stuff start to spread, and it is. It's not good. I'm lucky. I mean, I still have to park in the blazing hot sun, but, if they're calling for rain, I'll usually put the windows up, or if a storm blows through, my windows are down, I do have the opportunity to run up in the back lot, you know, and put my windows up. Or
so even modern technology.
Well, they have those things, those reflective things you can put in your windshield. That's what they're designed for. You've seen the big thing that covers the windshield?
Yeah. What do they call it? Sunglasses or something for your car?
Yeah, sun shading. And they also make sun shading material, too, that goes on the glass to put a darker tint on the glass to keep some of the sun from, you know, blazing through that glass.
So it's not just, you know, don't leave your kid in the car or your dog in the car. And, you know, we see lots of, you know, I don't want to say advertised, but there's always that sort of, you know, alert everyone, make them better educated about the fact that even though you may only run into 7-Eleven for 3 minutes, that it's not good for your car or for your dog or your child to sit in that car with the windows up. It's not even good for your car to do it for a full day.
I'm really amazed we don't have more electrical issues than we already do, because along with the heat comes a lot of humidity. And you know, we have airbags in the roof, we have them in the seats, we have them in the doors. The car is full of airbags. You know, everyone wants to pass that safety test and get that high rating. That's what sells cars. And all these airbag connectors, I mean, you have actually got to have a magnifying glass to see them. They're so tiny, and they're very sensitive to moisture. Of course, with the humidity, brings moisture. And we have some issues, you know, where I work, where just you can just reach down and touch a connector and, you know, the trouble code in the computer's memory for that component will clear. And a lot of it is just due to humidity, you know, just not a real tight fit, and it gets a little humidity, a little moisture on it, changes the resistance of that circuit, and bam, turns the airbag light on. So I'm really amazed with all the computers inside these cars now that we don't have more issues.
All right, we're doing our version of Auto Chat here on WNRN. Rusty Simpre is here from Jim Price Hyundai. Steve Bullock will be here in moments. Worked around with a variety of auto shops. And again, more than 50 years experience between Rusty and Steve. 1108 here on WNRN.
And support for WNRN Today coming from T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
WNRN is supported by the Jefferson Theater, presenting Show the Love, an evening to benefit the victims of the Oklahoma tornadoes, featuring Love Cannon and special guests with Luke Wilson on Friday, June 21st. Tickets for the June 21st show are at jeffersontheater.com. Show the Love, an evening to benefit the victims of the Oklahoma tornadoes, Friday at the Jefferson Theater.
All right. We also have a caller again, 979-0919. Dial us up, 434-979-0919. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, indeed. Just a quick question. Just turned on the AC as I'm driving along in a 2000 Camry, and all of a sudden I'm getting a loud rumbling noise, and I can hear it affecting the engine. I'm wondering maybe if I've got a broken belt that might have just happened.
A rumbling noise?
Yeah, well, here, listen to it.
I mean, any, like, alternator lights, or did you lose power steering or anything like that? Or
no.
Okay.
No, it's just, you know, it's really pulling on the engine when I turn the fan on for the AC.
You could have a compressor. The air conditioning compressor could be starting to fail. That would get, you know, something's actually tightening up probably, which would put a bigger strain on the engine. You know, but it could be alternator, power steering, or air conditioning. Real way to check it, you probably have to pull the belt off and just spin each pulley and see, you know, which one just feels tighter than the other. Because the bearing on the compressor should be just freewheeling. But if it's an internal compressor fault, you know, fault on that compressor, then you should be able to turn the compressor with your hand. It's just the clutch part of it in the center. And you should be able to feel that without even taking the belt off. If that feels real tight, then you may have a compressor going bad.
All right. Thanks much.
Good luck. Thank you.
All right, there you go, 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. Rusty Simpre here, Jim Price Hyundai, over Rusty, you tell me 34 years?
Yes, sir.
34 years experience?
33, I think. I went there in 97, so been there quite a while.
Yeah. All right, I see the phone line ringing, 979-0919. Steve Bullock should be joining us in just a moment. We were laughing at him. Steve Bullock, double-digit number of years, 20-plus years in the job, runs out of gas. I guess it happens to everyone, but you would think that maybe not to someone with that sort of career choice. Rusty, real quick, and I might come back to this later. There's we were talking about modern technology and whether you can hurt the car with the windows all the way up. Modern technology has now taken us to a point where, you know, you see the ads on TV and there's the blind zone alert, the lane change alert, the windows in the back of the car to let you know if you're about to hit a child or a trash can as you back up. Tell me how they work.
Well, they actually have sensors in the bumpers. Some of them actually, well, a lot of the newer cars, and this is the newest thing now, these backup cameras in cars, where the screen of your radio will actually, when you shift to reverse, turns into, it's like a TV monitor, and there's a little camera right back above the license plate in the back, and it just sends that video signal to your stereo. But other vehicles have a sensor on each rear corner of the bumper, and then they're each about a foot apart. And it can actually measure distance when you get within a foot or 2 feet of, you know, a person or an object. You know, it's like radar. It's like radar. It sends out a signal and gets a bounce back from whatever's in the way.
All right, I want to come back to that.
And sound a tone. It'll sound a tone in the dash.
Because we have another caller. We got Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. You got a question?
Yes, sir. I got a 1997 Chrysler Concord, and sitting still, it's got like a steady miss in it. But if I give it gas, it'll do 120.
Okay. You
know, it's got plenty of power, but when it's sitting still, it sounds like you're driving an A model or something.
Hmm.
Somebody said it might have been a burnt valve or
yeah,
something.
You could possibly have a burnt valve, but that usually will give you a little sputter, you know, when you first take off as well. You could actually have a vacuum leak. Something is definitely throwing the fuel mixture off while it's sitting there idling. We've had some instances on, I'm not real familiar with Chryslers, but, you know, if the car has an EGR valve, the EGR valve could be partially stuck open. Canister purge solenoid could be partially stuck open, sucking fuel up into it. If I had a scan tool, I could pretty much tell you the way the mixture looked on, you know, which area to start looking for, because you don't know if it's actually getting not enough fuel or too much fuel. But for some reason, the mixture is off at idle. Burnt valve, yeah, because then you're at idle, the valve is actually slowing down and it's allowing more air to get into the cylinder, which throws your valve timing off a little bit. And then once you step on the gas, everything smooths out. And you don't really. You got any check engine lights or anything like that going on?
Yeah, the check engine light pretty much stays on.
Okay. That'd be a good place to start, too. See what trouble code is in the computer. And that should point you in the right direction, whether the mixture is
like
lean or rich. But
I know, like, every time I crank it, it runs up to about 2,000 or 2,500 RPMs, and then it'll go back down.
Yeah.
Once I put it in gear, it'll drop on back down to like 1,000 RPM.
Yeah, 2,500 is a little extreme in this warm weather. Cold weather, that'd be pretty close to being normal, but warm weather, the idle shouldn't go up that fast. So, again, probably a vacuum leak is what I'm going to guess is your problem, whether it be just a rotten hose going somewhere or actually an intake manifold gasket, or if it has does it have a throttle body on it, or is it port fuel injection?
I'm not really sure too much about it.
You could actually carefully, I don't want you to get hurt now. You could take a can of carburetor cleaner while the engine's sitting there idling. Don't spray around any spark plugs or coils or wires, but anything in the vacuum area like the intake or, you know, your cruise control might have a vacuum hose or the brake booster has a vacuum hose going to it. Spray a little carburetor cleaner around those areas, and when it hits the spot that's leaking, the engine should smooth out. So that'd be a good quick test. But like I say, don't get near an ignition source. I don't want you to blow up and set yourself on fire. But
I appreciate it, Russell.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good
luck.
Good day.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Tomorrow's day.
And by the way, 979-0919, WNRN does not officially support any answers here today from Rusty and Steve once he joins us. Just in case there's something in there that you pay for that may not have been the actual problem, or you try and solve the problem yourself based on some answers given by our guest today. You know, do your own thing. These are suggestions, not requirements. 979-0919-1116 here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Enjoy your day. Make sure to contact your father, whether you do that by text, phone call, visit, or just sit down and say your personal prayer of whatever type you like.
Support for WNRN is brought to you by Atlantic Organic Natural Sleep Shop, featuring their natural and chemical-free organic sleep studio with environmentally conscious mattresses and bedding, including eco-friendly hardwood platform beds. That's Atlantic Organic, 421 West Main Street, Charlottesville. Website AtlanticOrganicSleepShop.com. It's bedtime naturally. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thanks for being with us today. I'm Rick Moore here on WNRN. Our guest in the studio, Rusty Sempre from Jim Price Hyundai, 34 years of experience. 979-0919 is the number to call with your question. And if you're interested in being a guest on the program, I'm putting together a current events roundtable. I'd like to have three citizens from our listening area. Email me, rmoore@wnrn.org. And let's see, we have Tom on the line. Hey, Tom.
Hello, good morning.
Your question?
I do. I have a 2000 Nissan Altima that's air conditioning is starting to give me some issues. It'll run cold for a while, then it starts blowing warm air. Check the Freon level. That appears to be fine. The belts are tight and everything like that, so I don't know. I'm thinking maybe the compressor's starting to go, but I don't know.
Usually a compressor either works or it doesn't.
So you're saying that it's not that the compressor would be beginning to fail. It would be either working or not working.
That's usually the case.
Yeah, if it's, but, you know, it's nothing consistent about it as far as when it does it or not. It just, you know, it'll run fine for a while, and then, you know, you start just getting, it's just like you have your vent on. It's, you know, just regular room temperature or, you know, regular air coming through there.
Gotcha. A lot of things are involved in air conditioners now. The big electric fan out by the radiator, if for some reason that quit working, you know, hit or miss, that could be something intermittent. If you don't have a good source of air coming through that air conditioning condenser, which is in front of the radiator, then it's going to, the high side pressure on your air conditioner is going to go way up, which will turn the compressor off. Engine coolant temperature sensor ties into the computer. If that's blipping out, that would cut the compressor off. Throttle position sensor, kind of self-explanatory there, because it's designed when you go wide open throttle like you're going up a mountain, it's supposed to cut the compressor off to give you more power. A lot of issues. They actually have a thing in the evaporator core. That's the part that actually gets cold inside the car, and there's actually a sensor that plugs into that as well called a thermistor unit. They have different names, but that has been known to give some problems too as far as being an intermittent problem. It thinks it's cold enough inside the cabin, and it'll just turn the air off
until the temperature changes. Yeah, I mean, that's almost what it seems like it does. You know, it just clips out because, you know, it just started doing this. I don't know. It's a fairly old car, too, and I've never had any issues with the air conditioning before, so I don't know.
You would basically have to have somebody with, you know, a scan tool, a diagnostic tool to actually hook it up and probably drive it down the road and see. You can actually monitor when the – if it's getting a compressor on signal from the from the computer, because the computer's tied into all that as well.
And all right, well, I guess what I need to do is have it checked.
Yeah, it could be a lot of different things. I wish I could put my finger right on it.
It probably was some, you know, several things it could be. But at any rate, I'll take it from there and see what I can find.
I've seen a faulty thermostat. You know, the engine just get a little hotter than it should get. I've seen that happen, too. And then the sensor picks it up and shuts the air conditioner off because it wants... He wants to
probably just take it in and have it looked at then.
Yeah, he could grab some wires and wiggle stuff around and see if you can make it cut off.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for sure. That's if I can do that and come across something, I'll definitely do that, no doubt.
All right,
fair enough.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Rusty, do people who want to fix their car, I mean, you know, change the oil, if you're a little more knowledgeable, change the spark plugs. But it sounds like that for so many things, if you don't have the device that tells you what the code is for check engine, it's almost like that the system has been set up so that you can't do the work yourself at home.
And it gets worse every year.
Yeah, why do you say that?
That's personal opinion. I think that's the way the manufacturer wants it. They want you to go back to the dealership. You know, they design all these special tools just so, you know, you have to. You can't get certain bolts out without special tools. You can't, you know, read diagnostic trouble codes without special tools. You can't get to the spark plugs because they're underneath this massive upper intake manifold that's covering everything up. You got to remove that first, which all requires special tools and special parts. I mean, they want you to come to the dealer. They spend a lot of, you know, time and money training us to be professionals and work on these cars the right way. And so I guess, you know, it's a business decision, I'm sure, but, you know, the way the engineers design some of these things, you're wondering, you know, how would John Doe in the backyard, you know, tear this thing apart and put a transmission in it? It's just...
And now he or she can't.
Yeah, now everything's computerized. All the computers communicate with each other, and you don't have a chance. I mean, you can change oil and rotate your tires, keep your tires, you know, air filters not too terrible to get in and out. And most of the cars don't even have fuel filters anymore. It's just a, like they call it, a sock. It's a filter sock that goes inside the tank, so... Which I think was kind of silly. I like fuel filters, you know.
979-0919. Call us with your question for Rusty Simpre. 30-plus years experience as an auto technician. Again, 979-0919. Dial us up. Rusty, we were talking about I asked you about the side blind zone alert and the lane change alert, and you were talking about those being, you know, similar to radar.
It is. It's like a Doppler radar thing. It sends out a beam. And
Are we becoming too dependent on those? Are drivers, you know, not paying attention as much? For much of this, it's just in the last year or two or three, depending on the expense of the car, seemingly. But, you know, are we becoming like the Jetsons, where not only can we, you know... do a variety of things with it, but we don't really have to pay attention. Just turn it on and kind of point it in the right direction.
You still need to pay attention. I think we discussed this before, that they're making the roof of the car actually lower to go through the air better and get better gas mileage. The big government standard, I think, by 2015, every car on the road has to get 35 miles to the gallon. So they're lowering the roof. When they lower the roof, that roof has to have a certain structure. So they're making the pillars that go down beside the windshield and down beside the driver's seat and that piece down behind on each side of the back windshield, they're called pillars. And they're making those wider just to give the roof some structure in case you are in a crash. And Steve just got here. He's driving his old 71 Chevrolet. 8 miles a gallon probably. But yeah, they're making the roofs lower. In order to do that and keep structure in the car, they have to make the pillars wider. So, and you can't see. I mean, I'll drive some cars through the parking lots and, you know, there's just no vision there. You got to lean forward to look through the windshield or lean way back to look out the side glass. And that person's going to be standing right, you know, in the sight that's been blocked by this big pillar. So it's the same thing with changing lanes and stuff coming up the interstate. They have these devices that's actually sound a chime through your radio if there's a car over in your lane, or they'll... I think Hyundai actually has a light in the rearview mirror or the outside mirror where you go to change lane. There's somebody there. It's going to flash a light in your face. You'll like this one. Hyundai had a car that came out a couple years ago called the Equus. They're big over in Korea, and you have to actually be a special dealer just to sell these Equuses. They're just like, it's like a short version of a fancy limousine. They actually have a sensor in the mirror that watches your eyes as you're driving down the road, and if you start to doze off, it either vibrates the seat or does something with the steering wheel or something. It's, I mean, yeah, like you say, it won't be long. We can just get in and turn the key and go, but.
All right, we have another call. Steve Pollock here.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning, Russell. Morning, Rick.
did you run all the way from 250?
No, my wife met me, and she was nice enough to bring me a gas tank.
All right, let's take a call. We got Michelle. Hey, Michelle.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Michelle.
You got a question for the guys?
Surely. I'm having trouble with ants getting inside my car, and there's nothing in there that their truck should be attracted to. It's parked on grass or gravel driveway sometimes, and I have sprayed bug spray the first time and Windex thereafter all around the door gaskets and up in the door hinge area, that whole cavity, and down along the running board to get rid of them. And I know y'all aren't exterminators, but I just want to know if this is going to hurt any of the mechanisms in my door or if it's going to hurt my paint on my car.
They've got to be attracted to something in there.
They're not just coming in. There's something
everywhere.
There.
Everywhere. They're everywhere in the whole yard, I guess.
Did you spill your latte,
yard,
Michelle?
I don't know if – I guess it's possible that they could get into mechanisms and, you know, and possibly foul them.
I want to know if the chemicals I'm using are going to hurt the mechanisms on my paint.
Oh, absolutely. When you start putting anything on the paint, I mean, if there's nothing to protect the paint like wax or anything like that, that stuff has got all sorts of chemicals in it, cleaning agents and anything made to get up dirt and grime. If the paint has nothing to protect it, you'll take it off. It'll eventually get thin spots in it in those areas.
Okay, well, like I spray it and douse it, and then I follow up with a paper towel to kind of, get the drips and everything off of the paint and just kind of leave it down in the crevices.
Yeah, well, the paper towel where you're wiping it is actually acting like an abrasive surface because you're actually pushing and rubbing those areas.
Okay, so if I
basically what you need to do is after you
follow
do
follow up to wash that off,
to wash it off and to wax the car, because that's the only way you can protect the paint. See, you have to have some sort of a barrier there between chemicals, ultraviolet, anything like that. You have to have some sort of a barrier there to protect the paint. That's how you can get your paint to last as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But there's still no way you're going to stop the erosion of the paint. That's going to continue no matter what. It's just you're doing whatever you can to protect it by putting a coating of some sort on it.
Okay, thank you.
Back to the ants, though. Couldn't you put one of those foggers in the car if you could do without the car for a couple of days?
I don't know. I'm not an exterminator.
That's what.
I can try that.
Just a little small one, you know, because it's going to fog it up good, and then you're going to have to just leave the windows down for quite a while.
Then you need like a dozen of those Christmas trees.
Quite a while to air it out because those chemicals are bad. But
best of luck, Michelle.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
All right, 979-0919. That's 979-0919. Call us up with your question. Steve Bullock joining us. Steve, how many years of experience do you have?
I've got 21 years experience.
So 55. So more than half a century. More than half a century of car expertise here in the studio at WNRN. Rusty Sempre, Steve Bullock. I see the phone line ringing again, 979-0919. Quick question for you guys. The difference between OEM parts, that's official... Original equipment manufacturer. So for my Hyundai, that means only getting a replacement part from the Hyundai dealer or aftermarket, which is like going to AutoZone or something like that, correct?
Yes, sir.
But is there a difference in the type of car, the car manufacturer, or the number of miles on the car, when it would be okay to not use the official part?
Well,
depends on the part to start with. And while the car is under warranty, you're going to pretty much have to use the original equipment parts. To uphold the warranty, if it looks better.
Yeah, if you're doing anything while the car's under warranty or anything that, especially the high-end electrical parts like any of the computers that are in the car,
sensors,
dashes, I highly recommend going with the manufacturer. As far as the aftermarket goes, I have found from dealing with some of the older cars I've dealt with in the past that the only way you can get some parts is to go aftermarket. And it's kind of funny. What it looks like is just that it's the manufacturer's part been reboxed. I've seen stuff that kind of looks like it. Sending units on older GM stuff. I've run across it before.
It could be possible. They could have bought some of the
stuff.
Well,
it looks almost identical.
Well, flush out your inventory, right?
Wow,
GM
GM
doesn't need these parts anymore. We don't even make that car anymore.
They used to go to a big warehouse in California somewhere. I had to get some mufflers for my Nova before.
It's
all gone now.
Yeah, it's weird how some of that stuff is, though.
Let's take a call from Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a 95 Toyota Corolla, 206,000 miles, running good. But
I got 214 on mine.
After driving it for about 5 minutes, the ABS light comes on. That's anti-lock brake system. The amber light on the dash comes on, and I'm wondering, is it still safe to drive? That's my question.
Yes. All that is letting you know that there is a problem with the anti-lock braking system. It does not affect the hydraulic braking system at all. The only thing is that when that light is illuminated, you do not have ABS brakes. So if you get into a sliding condition or a slipping condition of any kind when you're braking, it's just going to be like it was all before ABS existed.
Yeah.
But it is something that, you know, safety-wise on the car, it should be addressed. And you just got to basically find out whether it's a sensor or the control module or, you know, something like that. It could be any of several things.
Yeah, the wheels are going to lock up and you're not going to be able to steer.
Yeah.
Just like standard braking. But
That something that probably I should take to the dealer?
I'd call around. The dealer should have the equipment to diagnose it. I'm not going to swear to it because sometimes these scan tools and stuff, you know, over the years, they just get damaged, broken, and then it comes to a point where they say, do we really want to replace it?
Can you flash codes with the little box out?
That
ABS?
One, I can't remember. I think
same as my
can.
Geo Edder.
I think
it's a 95.
You can. I think actually there is a there. It may even be a link online somewhere to show you how to flash that code. But I think it's through the control box that's underneath the hood by the battery.
Yeah, it's a
There's
little
itty bitty box.
Inch square box out there.
And it says diagnostic on it, if I remember right.
You just jump two of those pins together and it should make that light flash and you count the flashes. And.
But I don't remember which two pins it is. That you have to jumper.
So you're saying that Brian is okay to drive it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just.
And the best place to go, because I didn't hear an official answer about go to this spot and do exactly this, is
I would call to ask if they have to make sure that they have the equipment there to diagnose it versus going up there and, you know, finding out, you know, they go in there and start checking it and can't check it. They should have somebody there that knows how to check it. I mean, bottom line is there's bound to be somebody that's been there long enough to know how to check this vehicle and get the codes out of it. And it could very well be a very common problem that somebody will say, oh, I know exactly what it is.
Right.
It's just one of those things. You know, the Toyotas, they're usually pretty good as far as whatever they say is wrong with them with their codes. That's what's wrong with them. They're not like some cars where you get a code and you know that the code, yeah, it says it's this, but it actually turns out to be something else that's causing it. Toyota, and most of the Asian imports are very good about that.
And usually what happens to one happens to all, so I'm sure it's not the first one it's ever happened to. So,
all right, Brian, thanks, man.
Should be an easy fix.
Hey, thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, phone lines open, 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. Our guest today, Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre, over a half century of auto technician experience here in the studio with us. Dial us up here on our version of Auto Chat.
Support for WNRN comes from the Avid Brothers at Richmond International Raceway Complex on Thursday, July 25th. Gates at 6, show at 6:30. Tickets and info for the Avid Brothers at RIR Complex can be found through avits@rir.com and Capital Alehouse locations.
Support for WNRN comes from Commonwealth Restaurant and Sky Bar, 422 East Main Street on Charlottesville's downtown mall. Serving dinner and drinks in the bar or at the Sky Bar overlooking the mall. Commonwealth is available for private parties and serves brunch on Sundays. For more information, it's CommonwealthSkyBar.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren, inviting you to experience Night at the Museum, a summer event at the Clugeroo Aboriginal Art Collection of UVA. On Thursday, June 20th, the museum will stay open until 9 p.m. to feature our current exhibitions, local live music by the Judy Chops, and a rally of Charlottesville food trucks. Don't miss out on the opportunity to explore the best of food and music in Charlottesville at the only museum of Australian Aboriginal art in the United States. Night at the Museum is free for museum members and $5 for non-members. For more information, please visit us online at kluge-ruhe.org. I'm Lauren, making a community connection at WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And here at the Wake Up Call, we're looking for a second producer for the show. If you have interest in the program, you're available to volunteer about every other Sunday, and you have a basic ability with computers, we can teach you the rest. Email me, rmoore@wnrn.org, or stop by the station. Talk about volunteering. All right, back with our guests today, Steve Bullock, Rusty Sempre, and our next caller, Dewey. Hey, Dewey.
Hey.
You got a question for the boys?
I'm a 14-year plus master certified BMW motorcycle tech. And we're into the CAN bus systems, cup holders, USB ports, traction control, everything. My first question is, do your fellows there think that the mechanics are getting paid, of course, you know, 14 years plus of every year going to school. I know what it takes to be a master certified technician in my field. I really don't know that much about the car biz, but I know y'all work your butts off. I'm just wondering if the income is kept up with the technology, or they're using the technology to decrease the pay of the techs. I have no idea. Second question. I have a V70R Volvo, which is a hot rod Volvo.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. And
I know what it is.
I'm curious with my turbo. We don't have turbos on our bikes. Is there an additive, any special additive that will help a turbo in its existence, in its life, when you get up in the miles? Thank you, folks.
All right, Dewey. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dewey.
Remember.
Yeah. Do you want me to field the one on the money? Or do you want to do it? You've been doing it longer than me.
I agree. His second comment about the technology is kind of keeping us below where we should be. You know, they're taking... Like Rick was talking about changing spark plugs. Our spark plugs get changed at 100,000 miles now.
Well, it's the whole thing.
The service part of it is gone.
The service part is gone, but the whole thing is this, is that what's truly happened over the last, really the last 15 years, is that, I heard the comments earlier in the show where they talk about the technology, you all talk about technology always advancing. What happens is that we have to adapt. We have to learn. None of us that got into this field started out thinking that, oh my God, we should have a degree in engineering. And, you know, we're doing stuff that basically software technicians, IT people are doing now, and they make more money than us doing less. And it's a tragic thing in the industry anymore. You get a lot of young kids, they get into it and they think, oh God, yeah, I'm going to make some money. They get into it and they realize, hey, this sucks. And, you know, they'll either stick it out or they'll find something else and do something else. And it's kind of tragic because you can't, to get anybody to really understand this, you have to be technically minded. You have to really, really want to do everything of it. And it used to be that it was mechanically minded. But you have to be technology minded as far as, you know, you've got to want to know how the computers work, what they're doing.
And well, that's what makes it so difficult. You have to in order to diagnose.
You don't have a choice. Because
that's what makes it difficult to, or has changed the option of, you used to see a, you know, a guy who was working on his car. At home, and
those days are done.
Anymore.
I mean, honestly, those days are done unless it's something simple. I mean, oil changes are even getting more complicated because they are putting different systems in there for doing the oil monitoring.
Well, let's talk about Dewey's question about his car.
His Volvo,
yeah,
turbo
V70. Best thing I can tell you to do is you can use the Castrol GTX oil. That is about the best thing that I found in it. If you want to go that extra step as far as putting a oil additive in it. Volvo doesn't endorse them, but I will tell you a product that I would use. It's made by a company called BG, and it's called MOA. And all this stuff does is that if you want to get any, it's an oil booster, and it just adds more lubricating properties or anything in there. The other thing is too, is that you can go to a synthetic if you're not already using one. And that's, you know, 6 1/2 dozen other, you know, I use one and, you know, it, I don't have any issues with it, but they're all, you got to read on what you want from the oil. That's usually all sorts of articles out there on who's going to tell you who's the best and everything like that. But everybody will kind of say, yes, we'll use the MOA, which is just it's just an oil booster. It just boosts the properties of the oil that are already there. That's about the best thing I can tell you, and just keep an eye on it. I mean, make sure that there's, you know, not low on oil. Give it a chance for cool down if you're coming off a long highway drive. Just give it about a minute or so to, you know, ease on down after running. And, you know, just heat is the biggest enemy on these things. So that's about all there is to it.
We haven't heard from him in a while. He used to call you every Sunday. Do you know? Well, what's up with Dewey?
I mean, think, you know, listening to the bluegrass, you work him out too much.
I doubt
tired,
that.
Takes a nap. 979-0919. That's 434-979-0919. Auto chat here with Rusty Simpre and Steve Bullock. 50-plus years of auto experience here in the studio. Call up, take advantage with your question. 979-0919. Let me take a moment and remind you to check out the WNRN studio sessions on the YouTube page. Alabama Shakes, Barnaby Bright, Robert Craig, Wild Feathers, just a sample of the intimate studio sessions you can watch. Go to WNRN.org to see Independent Music Radio's YouTube page, made possible with support from TuneIn. All right, 11:43 on the wake-up call, our guests Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre. I got a couple questions via computer. Person has a Jeep Wrangler. Passenger door won't latch and keep the door closed. It's not electronic, and there's been no recent accident. Is this something easy enough to fix himself, or does he need to take it to a mechanic because of safety concerns?
Make sure the claw is released on the door. When you open the door, look inside there where the latching mechanism is, and see if the latch itself is actually closed. It'll look like there's a loop inside a slot. If it is, just get a screwdriver or something.
Pull the outside door handle and pull outward
from that, yeah. And it should release.
The latch should actually grab the striker that's on the body, and if it's not open on the latch side, then it's just going to keep banging
off. So you're saying it could be stuck in the closed position.
Correct.
Sometimes that happens. I mean, and there's no rhyme or reason. It just sometimes
my Astrovan
does
it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Some vehicles, they just, it's like when you open the door, it's like they flip back.
And I think when you pull the handle to open it, and it opens, yeah, and you let go of the handle, the latch just closes back.
Some cars do some weird stuff.
But, yeah, just get a screwdriver in there and pop it open, and then soak it down with some good penetrating lube and try it a couple more times to make sure it works. If not, then you could have a spring popped off inside the latch or something. You're going to have to go inside that door and see what's hanging loose from it. Something must have come loose.
All right. Thanks. I hope you got that, John Boy. 979-0919. I can't do that anymore.
Canceled that one.
Doesn't work. Sorry. So 434-979-0919. Let me talk to you a second about buying a used car not from the dealership. So you're going out and you're looking for a used car, and you're thinking about purchasing something or maybe a particular car from someone who's got it in their, you know, in their yard or somewhere else. Things to look for.
Right off the bat, start looking for any, if you're buying it from an individual, just first thing you want to do is ask them if they have any service records. Just ask, just off chance. If they do, that means that they've taken care of the car. So that's a good sign right there. Look the car over, look at your tires, see if the tires are taken care of, you know, make sure everything on the car, there's no scratches or dents.
Look for some dirt in the paint. That tells you it's been in some kind of accident and been repainted.
And, you know, if the car is very, very clean.
Impossible for a perfect paint job, so there'll be dirt specks in it.
You're just looking for things like that. Pop the hood. Check to see if the oil, it looks like it's even attempted to be changed, and rather than if it looks like tar, you might want to stay away from it.
And also the dipstick will get a big black coating of like carbon on it where it's sludged up inside. And check if you got a nice clean dipstick, that means usually it's been serviced
pretty
well. And
same thing with the transmission, stuff like that. Ask to drive it. And just, you know, get some idea with it and see if they would be okay. If you have a mechanic you trust, take it to them and let them look it over.
Good point.
Just take it to somebody, you know, just ask them. If they say no, they're not receptive to it, then you need to just walk away from that. And
how long have they had it? Who'd they get it from? You know,
if a Carfax is available, sometimes that'll help, but you don't always get all the information from Carfax, but it is a good start and a good base.
Yeah. The more history you have on the vehicle,
the Carfax thing,
the better you can make a decision.
I mean, I've seen ads for it.
All dealers give them now. It used to be like 20-some bucks to run a Carfax on a vehicle, but the thing about Carfax is, It used to have to go through the insurance company if it was ever in an accident, and that's where Carfax would get their information from, was from insurance companies. If somebody crashes a car and takes it down to another body shop without reporting it to insurance, you know, Carfax is, you know, it's not going to show up anything.
So. Right. It's just a matter that it's just a way around it. But the thing is that if it is something there.
Yeah, it'll show who's owned it and for how long they owned it.
That's a big thing, is that they'll show a history of ownership, and sometimes that's key. If you get a vehicle that's been owned by like 10 people in 3 years, that's a vehicle you need to kind of find out why has it been owned by so many people. It could be that it's changing dealer lots, whatever, but because that does happen from time to time. But, you know, those are the things you just got to watch out for. But if it's been with a private owner, say, five different times in 2 years, you got to question, is there a problem?
All right. Take advantage of the expertise. Call us up, 979-0919. Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre here at WNRN, asking or giving information to the questions you ask. Again, 979-0919. Dial us up here on the wake-up call. Rusty, I think you used the word sludge. We were talking about changing the oil in the car. Here's another computer question that I had from somebody, a 1990 Silverado Z71. I'm not even sure what that is.
It's old Chevy pickup.
The water in my engine and radiator were really rusty. My mechanic says there's not much he can do because the engine flush that is now available does not do the job it used to, as the EPA stopped the manufacturing of a Prestone product, crystals.
Oh.
This truck is in great condition with 130,000 miles, but everything's on the verge of stopping up. The water pump is about to fail, and I hate to replace it without removing the sludge. Do you know of a product or a group of chemicals which will adequately remove the sludge?
If you're trying to get that crap out of the engine, basically the first thing you're going to need to do is you're going to have to replace the water pump. You're going to have to replace the radiator, the heater core, anything that has got small little capillaries in it.
Thermostat.
Everything in there as far as cooling system is concerned. I know the Prestone product he's talking about, and that stuff was harsh.
Was stuff that smelled like battery acid when you drained it out?
It was battery acid,
okay, thank you. I remember that, too.
That's why the EPA might have...
It's going down the drain and into the rivers.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it's gone. But
it worked.
It worked great. But what you can do in that situation is that there should be access to the freeze plugs, which are plugs that are in the side of the block, that you're going to have to get them knocked out. And basically, you're going to have to flush that block full of water. I mean, it's going to be a time-consuming process. But if you want to save the truck, I mean, that's going to be about the best way I can tell you to do it. The heater core in that thing, like I say, it's probably stopped up. If it's working, just flush that out with water by taking the two lines that go back into the firewall, flush those out. But the radiator is probably stopped up, and it would probably be worthwhile to do it. We had problems with the Blazers back in the late 90s. stopping the radiators up from that stuff, from people just, you know, the corrosion that will build up in those things. And that fixed about 90% of them by replacing that and flushing the cooling system.
All right. Phone lines open, 979-0919. Call us up. Rusty Simpre and Steve Bullock here on The Wake Up Call.
WNRN and Blue Mountain Brewery present the Red Wing Roots Music Festival, July 12th through 14th at Natural Chimneys Park in Mount Solon, Virginia. Hosted by the Steel Wheels and featuring Del McCrory Band, Sam Bush Band, Tim O'Brien, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and J.D. McPherson. The full lineup and tickets can be found at redwingroots.com.
Support for WNRN comes from the Blue Ridge Summer Theater Festival presented by N Station Theater Company, May 31st through July 30th. Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew runs May 31st through June 9th at Lynchburg's Renaissance Theater, then Sweetbriar College. Shakespeare's Cymbeline begins June 14th. Outdoor performances include wine and beer from local vineyards and breweries. NStationTheater.org.
All right, back with our guests today, Rusty Simpre and Steve Bullock. About 9 minutes left. If you have a question, take advantage of auto technician expertise over a half century. It took me a minute to realize that when you guys are talking about the length of time here, but over a half century working on a variety of cars. Please call us up. Ask a question. 979-0919. Rusty, there's all this new stuff. ECO on these cars. What does that mean? Because there's a button in my car, and when I got it from Jim Price Hyundai, I was told, leave that on. A little green light shows it's pushed in. Leave that on. Well, what is that? What happens if I turn it off?
Your car is going to have a little more power. Transmission won't shift as fast. It's designed for fuel mileage. It gives you, it's an economy button is what it calls. It actually changes. Instead of you changing your driving habit, trying to get better gas mileage, it does it automatically for you. It, you know, lets the car shift gears a little faster where you don't require as much throttle. Therefore, you're saving gas. And it's basically all it does. It kind of changes the fuel trim in a computer a little bit where it's not as rich. It kind of tries to lean it out. Plus, like I say, shifts the transmission a little faster.
Well, it's more of an around-town feature, isn't it?
So does that mean when I get on the highway to drive longer distances, I should... You know, let it out? Or climbing mountains, let it out?
Let it out on mountains,
when you
definitely.
When you get to where you've got to have the power as far as, like, mountain driving. Or
passing on a two-lane road or something. Yeah.
So when I'm racing Dewey in his Volvo
turbo
thing?
Volvo,
yeah, you won't have a chance against that car. They were fast.
For a Volvo, but really, because that's become a new advertising piece is... You know, it's eco button, but that's what it's talking about. Is it allows the car to determine to get the best gas mileage for you.
It's doing what drivers can't do. I mean, just subtle changes in like how you throttle a car or how you pull a hill. It kind of helps you do that without you actually doing anything.
A lot of people, you can't even feel the difference.
Yeah, because the way around town driving, you're not going to really notice it because you just it's a lot of stop and go. You're just never, ever really going to notice it. The only place you'd really notice is if you were getting out and you're just doing solid driving and say, like, you put it on the highway, headed on eco and drove that distance, then turned around and drove the same distance back with it off, you might feel it. But as far as, like, driving around town with it, you know, that's where you're really going to need it because it's when you take off. Those quick takeoffs from lights and stuff like that, that's what burns fuel. Because, you know, you can get about the same result, you know, just being a little bit lighter on the throttle, and this thing's going to help you do that. And like you said, it changes transmission shift points so that, you know, you can get as much out of the RPM as you can.
It's actually changing injector pulse is what it's changing. Yeah.
Changes pulse width.
Yeah, pulse width.
So going up Afton Mountain, I should turn it off?
Turn it off, because you're going to need power. And you don't want to, you know, you can starve an engine in that. I mean, it's not that it would damage it. It's just that it would make you go a whole lot slower. And in some situations, well, I shouldn't say a whole lot slower.
You push the gas hard enough, it's going to go.
It's going to go out of those parameters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that you read the owner's manual and see what it says, because it may tell you exactly how to use it and what the conditions are that you should use it and shouldn't.
Early Hyundai's had a, down by the gear shift, a power and economy button, and that's all. That's before they got into changing the injector pulse width. It just made the transmission shift at different times.
But it seems to be the new thing now.
Yeah.
Well, that's everything is driven to fuel.
Everything is driven to fuel.
And, Rusty, you were saying how by 2015, everything has to have get 35 miles
35
a gallon.
35 or so miles
and
per
so
gallon.
And so this is the way, because they can say, I get 35 miles an hour, 35 miles a gallon, unless the driver
changes that economy switch.
But, yeah, the whole thing. Well, what's funny about that is I can remember cars back in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, the Civics and the CRXs, stuff like that. Those cars were touching on 45 miles a gallon back then. And now they're boosting.
And Volkswagen was kicking their rear end.
Yeah, Volkswagen used to have the old Rabbits. If you had a diesel Rabbit, you had a car that touched on 45 miles to the gallon. And the gas ones were touching on 40. I mean, this is back in the 80s. And, you know, here it is now. They boast, oh, we're getting 45 miles to the gallon out of this brand new car. We should have been at 55.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, I understand.
It didn't keep up with the times.
They're not keeping up with the times where, you know, they did this so many years ago. That now here we are now, and we're going backwards.
It's like they went through a band here where everybody wanted horsepower, all the,
yeah,
the twin cams
that
and the turbos,
yeah,
and all.
They went crazy on horsepower.
And then the government's slapping their hands, saying, no, you got to get gas mileage again. So everybody wants performance and gas mileage. So
and
it's like they
those two things don't mix.
Went off the range, and now they're trying to get it back to where it's supposed to be. But
and I mean, I'm sorry, you know, I like the idea of seeing some of the, like the smart car. I mean, it's a cool idea. But
have you watched the crash test on YouTube?
Let me tell you something. That car right there, I've driven one, and I fear for my life in that car.
There is a crash test on YouTube where they're running.
I don't even want to see it. But,
like,
I mean, it's
60
like,
some miles an hour.
I'll take my chances on a motorcycle before I take my chance in that car.
It's impressive to watch.
And, you know, that's the way I feel about it. But, I mean, people own these cars and they love them. And, I mean, and they're using them the way they were meant to be. They're made to be around town small drivers. They're not made to be interstate cars. They're just made to be, you know, metropolitan areas, and that's what the car was designed for.
All right, 11:57 on the wake up call. Just a few minutes left. We're talking about power. So here's a question that came in: 2007 Chevy Uplander, 3900 V6, 130,000 miles. That makes sense to you guys?
Yeah, it's a minivan.
The van running rough and idling bad, also surging while going down the road. After a few days of that, it started going into the reduced engine power, which cut power to almost nothing. Shutting the van off would reset the reduced power. What's the problem?
There's going to be a check engine light on it, and it could be a mass airflow sensor.
Was that electronic throttle?
Yes. They went to electronic. It could be a mass airflow sensor. It could be a throttle body. It could be a throttle pedal. Bottom line is that there's bound to be a check engine light. That's going to have to go to the dealer, and they're going to have to see what's going on with it.
Whenever it goes into reduced power mode,
there's a major trouble code,
and it should not be too hard to diagnose.
All right, guys. Anything last? It's summertime, so a quick few tips on safe summer driving.
Check your tires. Check coolant. Keep water with you if you're going to go on any long drives.
Jumper cables. Heat will destroy a battery. So.
But heat won't destroy the jumper cables?
No.
Not necessarily. Unless you cross them. Then you're going to have other problems.
Yeah, then you're blowing every fuse in the box. Yeah. A lot of times it takes the radio out if you cross them.
Rusty, you said keep water?
He said keep water.
Keep water. Well, if it's hot and you're out on the road and you got to wait for somebody to come to you, it's nice to have a bottle of water with
you. To bring you a gas can?
Just like my wife did. Like I say, she I love her to death. She helped me out of a bad spot.
Happy Father's Day to Steve Bullock, as his wife probably rolls her eyes and says, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
All right. Thanks, guys. Steve Bullock, Rusty Simpre.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Today. Appreciate all the questions. www.sevillepodcast.com, sevillepublicmedia.com, or wnrn.org if you want to listen to the podcast of the program. Next Sunday, we'll be having a show on Spark of Music, something to do with helping young kids who don't have the ability or the money to have their own instruments and learn about playing them. Thanks, everybody. Happy Father's Day.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned